Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 11 o'clock hour, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We say hello to Terry McCormick. TitanInsider.com has covered the team since day one. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, we're good. We're a little fired up today. We've, the guy that is currently sitting to my left played 15 years in the league. He's seen a lot of things. And when he watches the star quarterback for the Miami Dolphins go through what he went through last night, it tends to fire him up a little bit. And it rightfully so. It very much should. So I'll start with that before we get into the Titans and the Colts. What's kind of your take on this whole Tua situation? And do you believe Mike Vrabel is going to be asked about this? Because I would love his opinion on it, both as a coach and a former player.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to get asked it by somebody today when he meets with the media after practice. You know, my take on the whole thing was, you know, given what we saw on Sunday against the Bills, the way he was wobbly when he got up from that first hit, I question whether or not he should have been out there. You know, and, yeah. And that's crazy, you know, that to think that he was put in harm's way the way he was, if that's the case. You know, somebody is going to pay a pretty heavy price for that, I would think.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's certainly a conversation that is not going to go away by any means. But shifting in to the Titans and the Colts, obviously, I know Derrick Henry said yesterday he's not worried about going back to Indianapolis and the place that he got hurt. We saw him things got going a little bit better for him last week. How do you think the Titans can continue the progression with Derrick Henry to kind of get him back to full form?
Well, I think it's going to be kind of a combination of things. I think you saw, you know, on the very first play from scrimmage, it was a handoff, another hit behind the line of scrimmage. And you're like, well, here we go again. But to Todd Downing's credit, he made some adjustments, especially in the first half. They started splitting Derek out putting him out in the pass pattern, hitting him with the check downs and the screens to get him ahead of steam and get him in some space where he had some room to run. And that kind of helped open things up a bit in the run game. I think the Titans may be in a situation right now, given their offensive line and, you know, the makeshift kind of concept that it is right now, I think you may be looking at a team that has to do a little bit of passing in order to run the football rather than run in order to pass. I think they're going to have to maybe go back and re-examine that, try to maybe throw a couple of those play-action passes on the early downs so that maybe you can get to a second and three and then hand Derek the ball and have a chance for him to find some open lanes because teams may have to start respecting the pass. I think that's one area. And then splitting him out, getting him the ball in space, I think that was a really good move on the part of the offense last week.
Now, Terry, Treylon Burks, I think he didn't practice a day this week because of illness. What is his status moving forward? Has Vrabel said anything?
No, he was a full go yesterday. He was out on Wednesday because of an illness. But he's a full go yesterday, so I don't anticipate any problems with Treylon Burks being available on Sunday for the Titans. And that's a guy that they're going to need because he's a guy who can, you know, he's got young, fresh legs. He's a speedy guy. He can make people miss and get yards after the catch, at least judging from his resume from while he was at Arkansas. I think this is a guy that you know, they're going to need to get involved more in the passing game to try to create some of those explosive plays that were lost when A.J. Brown was traded away.
Now, with that being said, and we're going to ask this question until, you know, things start to change with Austin Hooper. This is a guy they brought in to be an integral part of this offense, and so far he's been a no-show. And I'm not going to completely blame it on him, but they got to find a way to address this and allow him to be more of a focal point in his offense, as do they need to with Treylon Burks. But has there been any discussion with Downing at trying to make this happen?
Well, Ryan Tannehill addressed it the other day when he was asked, and he said that, you know, Hooper's time in this offense will come. I think there's been a few times maybe where he's been open, but, you know, for whatever reason, Tannehill wasn't able to get him the football. And the other part of this too, Derek, I think that with the way this offensive line is and with losing Taylor Lewan and now having to have a backup left tackle, I think you saw a lot more tight ends being left in the block. They were running some two tight end sets against the Raiders, even three tight end sets, leaving some guys in to block to help pass protect so that Ryan Tannehill stays clean in the pocket. So, you know, we saw that 2 years ago. That's, you know, when Taylor Lewan was hurt, that's when Jonnu Smith's numbers went down from a receiving standpoint because he was needed to stay in and help block more often than going out into the pass patterns. I think that may be a little bit of what's happening with Austin Hooper here, is that he's not getting the target that he normally would get because he's having to stay in and help block more often.
Terry, before we move forward with this football discussion, I have a question for the resident Yankee fan here. If you were,
I knew that was coming.
If you caught the Aaron Judge ball, or let's say you got to a game next weekend and he hit number 66 or 67, whatever it is, what would you do with it?
I'd probably parlay it into at least a meeting with Aaron Judge and give him back the ball.
Okay, so you wouldn't take it to the auction site and just, you know, be cold-blooded and just go all for yourself with the money?
If he was a Red Sox, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
See? Okay, see? Terry is all right, Terry, this is what I said yesterday, because I'm with you. I have nothing against Aaron Judge. I don't like the Yankees like you do, obviously. I'm a Braves fan. But I respect Aaron Judge enough that I would like maybe some tickets. I've never been to Yankee Stadium, so hook me up with tickets. Sign another ball for me, commemorating that this was 61 or 62, what have you, but then give him the original ball, and that's cool. If it was Barry Bonds, you paying me. Like, we are playing hardball because I don't like you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's how I roll.
Mm. So, Terry.
I'm with you.
Very interesting. So, Terry, as you look at the Colts, you've seen a lot of these matchups. The Titans have turned the tables a little bit on this rivalry here. But as you look at this particular Colts team, let's start with Matt Ryan. He's definitely struggled. You look at the numbers, the pass protection, the things like that. Do you think it will get better, or is this an area that the Titans just have to exploit?
I think that it will get better for Matt Ryan as he gets more acclimated to the receivers that he has. You know, the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, an old quarterback's going to have to learn how to get on the same page with new receivers, and some of those are kind of younger guys who maybe don't know the rigors of what it's like to gain separation, you know, on a regular basis in the NFL. This is something I talked to Tannehill and Robert Woods about the other day, is that when you've got veteran to veteran, the time it takes to get on the same page shortens quite a bit, and I'm sure Derek would attest to that, that if it's a 10th-year quarterback and you're joining a new team, it's easier to get on the same page because you've both seen it, as opposed to, you know, a 10th-year quarterback and a second-year wide receiver, that sort of thing. So I think that it plays into it some. I think Matt Ryan will get better. I think it's fortunate for the Titans that they're playing the Colts twice early in the season before maybe they really get that offense going and get everybody on the same page.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Appreciate it as always, my friend, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one.
Terry McCormick has covered the team since day one as the Titans will head to Indianapolis and take on the Colts. I ask this question,
Which team has more pressure on them right now, the Tennessee Titans or the Indianapolis Colts, as they go into this game? We will discuss that coming up next. Chase Willie and D-Mace live from Bridgestone Arena, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're live at the Jack Daniels Barrel House. It is a Preds game day, as you know, and that is all presented by Social Furniture. Shop today and get rewarded with social cash back. Buy $3,000 in furniture and receive $450 social cash back. That's in green cash. Shop local. Shop social on the west side. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Our buddy Bill Wickett stepping in just to say hi into the Jack Daniels Barrel House. Preds, Tampa Bay Lightning, game two tonight here at Bridgestone Arena. But I mean, we'll discuss a little bit more of that coming up here in just a little bit. But the Titans heading to Indy to take on the Colts. We talked yesterday to Bob Kravitz from The Athletic, and he referenced the article that The Athletic had put out. Jim Irsay lit up pretty much everybody after losing to the Titans. He doesn't want to lose to the Titans. It kind of reminds me of Bud Adams.
Didn't want to lose to Houston.
Did not want to lose to Houston. Y'all had to beat Houston. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter if you won any other game as long as you beat Houston. That Jim Irsay has that same feeling about the Tennessee Titans. So I ask, which team's got more pressure this weekend on them? Is it the Titans or is it the Colts? And if the Colts don't beat the Titans, whether it's this weekend or in 3 weeks when they play again, could that really be Chris Ballard and Frank Reich playing for their jobs?
I think from a – because it's two different situations. I think the pressure for the Titans is they don't want to fall further behind in a division, that, you know, there are a lot of people that got that have them winning the division. Hell, I think we all had them winning the division this year. But because now, you know, injuries and the lack of depth on this roster, and frankly, the roster is just as – it's not as good as it has been in previous years. So there is that pressure of, okay, if we want to stay right on pace, if we want to – like I say, if you want to stay ahead of the chains, or if you want to, you know, stay on path, then you got to win this Indianapolis Colts game because – you know, from here on out, you're going to start getting into division games. And these division games are critical. So I think just from a, you know, positioning standpoint, it's critical for the Titans to win this game. But I think from a, you know, just from a job standpoint, it's really critical and imperative that Indianapolis win this game. Because, listen, I said it before. Irsay started with the quarterback.
Right.
He said, listen, okay,
get this guy out of here.
Get him out of here. So what does that mean? He felt the quarterback was the problem. If he felt the quarterback was the problem, he got rid of the quarterback. He said, after a year, he's done. We need somebody else. If he gets rid of the quarterback, brings another quarterback in, and the same stuff is happening, now it falls on the head coach and the GM. Because now no longer can I blame the quarterback because he's not going to blame Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's he brings credentials to the table.
Right.
So Ballard's not going to blame him. He's going to start blaming the coaches if they can't win now. So
yeah,
I think from that aspect, it is really pressing that you know, this coaching staff of the Indianapolis Colts get this victory, at least this one, at home.
Sure. The thing for me, though, with Matt Ryan is, yes – you're right, he has credentials, but he's 38 years old. He's on the back nine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably on hole 15 on the back nine of his career. Chris Ballard has had 5 years since Andrew Luck abruptly retired. Now, I'll give him a pass that Andrew Luck retires a week before the season starts.
Yeah.
You go with Jacoby Brissett, who is, look, not a bad backup. He's done an admirable job in Cleveland, starting things off for them. He did an admirable job with Indy that year that he was a starter. But, okay, you'll give him a pass. You've had a lot of time to address that position.
Mm-hmm.
And
out and got Phillip Rivers.
You have done Band-Aids. All you've done are Band-Aids. Phillip Rivers was at the end. Matt Ryan's at the end. You have Carson Wentz. Am I forgetting anybody that's been in there? I mean, and now you know, but now you've gotten to Matt Ryan, but I mean, you went and got Carson Wentz, and I think you thought you were going to get a few years out of Wentz, but he's Carson Wentz.
Did you mention Josh Freeman?
No, I did not.
Wow. He did beat the Titans the one time.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
But he was waiting tables or bussing tables or something. He came in and beat the Titans.
Oh, wow. So I'm not going to give Chris Ballard a pass anymore. I mean, you've had time to address it, and you haven't done it.
Well, that's why I say if you're talking the pressure to keep their jobs, I mean, Vrabel and Jay Rob are not worried about their jobs. Do they want to get better at what they're doing? Absolutely. Every coach or GM wants to become better each and every year. But they're not like, okay, we got to win this game because our jobs are dependent on it. I think, you know,
pressure can be defined in many different ways.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, yes, I believe both teams have pressure, but it comes from different angles.
Sure.
It comes from different places. The Titans' pressure is we don't want to fall further back in the division.
I think you're splitting hairs. There's enormous pressure. Just think about the feeling for each team when they walk in for their next practice based on the result of this game.
Sure.
The winner of this game is going to feel, all right, we're okay. We're stabilizing. We're getting better. Mm-hmm. The loser is going to be, wow, we've dug ourselves a hole, and man, are we still what we think we are? But I do think if you are trying to answer the question, you got to give an answer. Then I think for the reasons you guys just said, the Colts have more pressure. They're the ones that have not made. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They made the bold move to switch the quarterback. They didn't have to do that. There were ramifications. Mm-hmm. It costs you when you make a deal like that for Matt Ryan. You have salary cap problems that you create for yourself when you switch guys around like that. It's not in a vacuum that happens. There, you give up draft picks. You give up assets. You eat dead money. All of that stuff. So there's more pressure on the Colts, I think, for this game. But at the same time, man, think about how well the winner is going to feel when they walk into the facility on Wednesday or whenever they meet again. And think about how the loser is going to feel.
When did Luck retire? 19, 18?
Oh, man.
Before that.
It was before the pandemic. Yeah, it may have been, what, three,
I
want to
say, let's
that.
See. Hold on. I know exactly where 16. I was. I know exactly where I was when that happened. I'm going to say it was.
Well, the Preds were playing, weren't they?
2019,
or
I
no,
think.
That was
no. I was watching my daughter play soccer in Gatlinburg.
The end of the 2018 season. Okay. So, before the 2019
right,
season.
So it was the summer of 2019 when it was about to, you know, it was about to be the season, and he just walked away.
Here's where I bring that up. Wes in Clarksville, have the Colts drafted a quarterback since Luck? Yes, they have drafted two.
High picks.
Well, that's where I'm getting at. They've really invested a lot in this. Fourth round pick, Jacob Eason, out of Washington, the former Georgia quarterback. Mm-hmm. They drafted him in 2020. 2021, sixth round pick, Sam Ellinger from Texas. That's how they've addressed it with the draft.
I don't know what they were thinking.
They weren't. I mean, I will always hear the voice of the late, great Floyd Reese in my head. Mm-hmm. Because how they have addressed this is they've either traded for or signed players that are veterans. Mm-hmm. And I hear him in my head going, well, they're available because they weren't very good. If they were good, they wouldn't be available.
Yeah, you're right about that, especially after a while. Yeah, I just think
and that's not always the case, I know. There's money involved. Like, A.J. Brown's a very good player. That's why, you know, he was traded for different reasons. But I think, you know, if Philip Rivers really wanted to finish his career in San Diego or in L.A., he probably could have. But, you know, they looked at, time to move on.
Yeah, it's time to move on from them. They got them a really good quarterback now. That's because they were in a position, because of their record, to draft Justin Herbert. The Colts, I don't think they've been in a position to draft in a top 10 since Andrew Luck has retired.
And with that in mind, they sort of deserve a little bit of bad luck with quarterbacks because they hit it perfect. You know, when they got Peyton Manning. And then just when he was going out, they bring in Andrew Luck. I mean, it was really well played by them. So it doesn't always come together like that for most teams. So, you know, they're due to not have perfect success finding the quarterback here.
615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. You can join Michelle Knezovic tomorrow at Lucky Duck Lounge in East Nashville at 2512 Gallatin Avenue for the SEC Game of the Week presented by BettingHero.com. They're going to help you enjoy your experience betting on mobile and maybe even buy you a beer. Fun starts at 2:30 on Saturday as Alabama takes on Arkansas. So go and join Michelle there. Coming up next, there is a player that I want to see more out of, and I believe Derek Mason is going to agree with me. We will discuss that coming up next. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Bridgestone Arena, Jack Daniels Barrel House. Willie making his final travel plans.
Got to make sure I got everything.
Now, they told me I'm good. David Poyle and Roman Yossi, they said that some guy named Frank is going to take me to John Toon Airport. That's that's where I'm supposed to get on the bus.
John Toon. Yeah. Nice.
Hey, so. Willie, save him a seat, okay?
Here you go, Chase. Here's your plane. It's a little prop plane.
I like what Roman said. The key is order a drink.
Yeah.
You know, it just – it makes it really seem like you're there and you belong, and you know you're starting to take charge of things. You're an important person. Can I get a Merlot? Yeah. You know, so just pick out some fancy kind of thing. Just see if they have it.
Yeah, see if they have something. Yeah.
Do you have any red wine?
Could I get some Screwball?
Do you have any Screwball? Yeah, see what she says, or the person, or the flight attendant.
As soon as I say that, somebody's going to go, Chase, what are you doing here?
Chase, that's you.
Yeah, somebody about five seats over is going to.
And here's what I love. You guys are like, just walk behind Roman. Well, I got like a foot on Roman. So yeah. I'm thinking Michael McCarron or Pekka.
Pekka, yeah.
You know, I gotta hide behind
him. You know, I would probably lean more toward Peck. Because people are like, Coach Peck, they'd be paying so
Coach
much attention to Peck.
And I'd be like, Coach Peck, yeah, what's up?
And you just kind of walk right by.
Just go back where the players are. Exactly. Roman's like, hey, it's cool, he's with us.
Just make sure.
Hey, what's up, guys?
There.
Yeah, I'm a rookie.
If you can pull that off, Chase, I will be impressed. I'll be impressed.
We're like halfway over the ocean. Yeah. Y'all finally figured it out.
Like Chase is on his plane.
I like the hood up. But see, here's where y'all have thrown the curveball. I got to get the tracksuit.
The tracksuit. Well, no, there's going to be more people than tracksuits. I think.
Okay.
I don't know if
I
every
feel like the tracksuit would be easier to blend in.
I do wonder if everybody on the plane is going to have a tracksuit because it's a little bigger plane and taking more people
okay,
over. There's
so
more players.
Willie,
all the players will have them.
You might have to take one for the team.
Yeah.
They know you're supposed to be there.
I
you can
wear
give
the
tracksuit. Your
Now, that would be the move. If Jay shows up in the tracksuit. Like, hey, he's got a tracksuit. He belongs.
Exactly. Hey,
he got the tracksuit.
You know, I'm going to put this on Twitter. 615-737-1025. How can Chase sneak on the team plane and go to Switzerland?
Give some tips. You should ask my dogs, because my dogs are the best at sneaking upstairs. They're not supposed to go upstairs.
But they get up there
But
somehow.
It gets quiet all of a sudden, and I know my son, he doesn't like when they go in there and start rummaging around his room and stuff. They get on his bed and start rolling around. All of a sudden, he'll just go, Clyde! Like, he knows, like, it's all quiet. You hear the footsteps, and all of a sudden, you'll hear him coming back down the stairs. He knows he's not supposed to be up there.
Oh, man.
So he knows how to sneak. So, sneak tips.
Yeah,
that's what we need. Chase needs some sneak tips
but
to get on the
plane.
Here's
my luck. Every seat is accounted for.
I think,
and I take somebody's seat. Sean Henry, that'd be my luck. Sean Henry would be like, "Where's
Sean
the seat?"
Yeah, like, you're right over here in 30B.
Hey, hey, Sean.
Hey,
I figured we needed to have a meeting and talk about just some stuff and things.
Oh,
and
man,
figured I'd just meet you here.
Or just send one of the jump seats in the back, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, just send.
I could be a flight attendant.
Yeah.
I could I'll do that. I'll serve
there
some
you
drinks.
Go. Hey.
Like, Mr. Gill, can I refill your glass?
Well, you could try to impersonate Hal, because Hal and Lindsay will be in Atlanta in the studio.
True,
so they will not be going, much to the chagrin of all of us. We were bummed that they...
Well, that's easy. I'll just walk on with a six-pack.
So just
fine.
Yeah, just kind of go that way.
Skelzy, you're here! How about 615-737-1025. There is a Titans player that... I know Derek has brought up a few times that I want to see more out of. Now, we saw a little bit more out of Robert Woods last week. He had 85 yards, four catches. He was targeted 9 times. So you could tell that they really emphasized wanting him to be more a part of this offense. Still has not scored a touchdown for this team. I feel like health-wise, he's good. The knee looks good. I don't know if you've seen something different when you've watched film, Derek, but I feel like from that aspect, he's good. But he had the one catch for 13 yards in the opener, four catches for 39 in the loss to Buffalo, and then things obviously got better. He was averaging about 21 yards a catch last week against the Raiders, and they also have him returning punts now. Mm-hmm. So what do you think they need to do to get more out of Robert Woods?
I mean, what they have been doing, I think they've slowly been integrating him into the offense. I think he's getting a little bit more comfortable with what they're doing, his role on his team is. You know, so they're going to, and he's a veteran, so he's going to figure it out. And Ryan understands that, you know, you need that veteran that you can rely on in that position. So they're going to continue to get him the ball in certain situations. You know, I wouldn't be surprised this game he caught like 6 or 7 passes. But it would be better for him if they try to figure out how to incorporate Treylon Burks more and more, because I think the more they incorporate Treylon Burks, the better it will be for Robert Woods. Because, listen, Robert Woods is not a down-the-field guy anymore. He's going to be your tough, gritty guy that gets those tough yards, intermediate yards, break a few tackles, and get upfield. He understands concepts. He knows how to find holes and zones. So he's going to be that veteran guy that you can rely on. I thought it was going to be Hooper, but it's not. It's Robert Woods. So he replaces that. But then what's going to help Robert Woods is if they find a way to get Treylon Burks more involved in the game, because now it switches the defense, because the big play potential comes from Treylon Burks, not Robert Woods, not Austin Hooper, not Nick Westbrook, Akine, or Phillips. It comes for Treylon Burks. So the more they can get him involved, it's going to make Robert Woods' job a little bit easier. He's going to start seeing single coverage rather than, you know, people looking at him.
Well, a couple of things on Robert Woods. Catch rate for him is 56%, which is a little low for him. He's a guy.
But
you
don't know.
You got
to really look at it like what they – balls that were thrown over his head.
Right, right. It's a small.
Yeah,
we haven't had a lot of games yet, but just early. What are you looking for from Robert Woods? What has he been? Right, he's been a volume guy, a possession guy who's going to catch the last 3 years, 65%, 70%, 65% last year, before he was injured. So that catch rate should go up. He, you know, 56% to me, if that's an effective 56%, you're taking some shots down the field. Mm-hmm. And he's not really that guy. Like, I'd like to see him be the possession guy. So I'm looking for that to go up. He's had some pretty good plays, but the overall efficiency, not quite there yet. Treylon Burks from Football Outsiders has got some decent efficiency, even though he has not been targeted that many times. He certainly wasn't last week. But I think the good thing about what we're seeing from him, he's been above average. He's not ranked very high because – you know, he's not amassing a lot of numbers so far, but when they have thrown to him, it's not that bad. He's 62% catch rate, and he's going to be a guy that gets down the field a little bit more. Some of the creativity, the end around, the quick screens, the bubble screens, that's what I'm wondering if they can get more of that kind of touches in there. You know, those kind of touches.
Woods or Burks?
Well, probably Burks, right? That's the guy I think can make some things happen after he catches the ball. If you can get him in space, get some blockers in front of him. He had success in college with that. If you can add more of that, I think that would help overall the passing attack. But keep in mind, the passing attack as a whole, thanks to Hilliard, thanks to throwing the ball to Derrick Henry, the efficiency of the passing attack has been much, much better than the running game. And that's what they've got to get balanced out.
Well, can you find out? Because at one point in time, I think this might have been, Tannehill's first year as a full-season starter. He was, what, first or second in the league at yards per pass attempt. I know the efficiency is there, but what is the yards per pass attempt? because if the efficiency is there, it tells me the yards per pass attempt is down than what it has been with him. I think that year he might have been like 7 or close to 8.
He was carving people up.
Yeah.
When they were kicking it in 2020, mm-hmm. and he had that great season, the run after the catch, the yards per attempt was fantastic. So let's just take a look at it. 2020 yards per attempt. Well, actually, let's go back a year before when he had 9.6 yards per attempt. That was first in the league.
Exactly.
So that's better than Mahomes. That's better than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that is number
one. That means he was getting the ball
one.
Down the field.
Yes. 7.9 in 2020. Last year dipped to 7.0. This year, 8.1. Not bad.
That's not bad.
But, you know, not number one. But, you know, 8.1 is pretty good. So, again, those passes to Hilliard, right? They're kind of skewing everything. They've only thrown in the ball like 6 times. But
they've been big chunks.
Big chunks every time. They're getting big explosive plays from him.
Coming up next, we'll shift into the Predators as they'll play game number 2 tonight after a 2-0 win last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who's still fighting for a roster spot. And what do we expect going into the burn trip? We will do that coming up next. But can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. I love them because it's real odds making. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond. No guys across the pond setting lines for American sports. Just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Vegas. So if you're looking for that play this weekend, I do like the Titans on the road plus the 4 in Indianapolis. You're getting 4 points. If you feel so inclined, take them on the money line as well. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So do like I do. Make it your official sports book. Download the Superbook Sports app or visit Superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5-106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Predators taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning later on tonight. They won last night 2-0. And a few things that, you know, kind of stood out in that game. And I'll be honest with you. I listened. I did not come last night. The suit needed a night off.
Hey, every once in a while you need to.
He'd gone a little hard in the paint the night before. And
in the paint?
In the paint.
He went hard in the paint,
hard
man.
In the paint.
And we're talking Rick Mahorn, Charles Oakley in the paint kind of stuff.
Well,
that's just not any paint.
Look, I went by to see our friends at Blend Bar, that proud sponsor of Jonathan Hutton and his segment, and met Jeremy and got to check it out and had a great selection of bourbon and cigars, and so I had a good time and really enjoyed that. And so I decided I would watch the football game at home, listen to some of the Preds game, and take it easy because, you know, suits need their rest, and I'm realizing something that I'm sure you two realized when you got in your mid-30s that, you know, I just can't go like I used to.
Can't go hard to paint like you used to, man.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
Need some load management.
Load management.
Exactly.
that's what we had. But Kevin Lankinen looked really good last night. He's had a nice camp for the Predators. Saw Roman Josi playing with Matthias Ekholm, which I thought was interesting. And that's something that John Hines and the coaches have been working on, of Ekholm playing on the offhand.
Yeah, I think they're trying some different things just to see how that looks. I still have a sense that the Ekholm and McDonough pairing is the one that you're going to see to start with. But the last couple of days at practice, they took a look at Josi and Ekholm together. But as I watched them together, and remember, this is a preseason game, I think there's a reason why those two have really not ever gravitated and played much before. I just think their styles are not as good of a mesh as the other matchups that they could have. I think Carrier has shown that he's a pretty good match with Josi, and I think Ekholm and McDonough look like a pretty good match. I thought it looked better against Florida with Ekholm and McDonough than last night. Last night was interesting. Tampa, of course, we know what's going on in Tampa, right? They moved their entire operation up here. They brought the families up here. They brought the pets up here. Like, it was a great classy move by their owner to say, look, let's get everybody out of there. And great communication between the two organizations to accommodate the Lightning, an entire camp, right? There's ice time. There's not a ton of ice here in our area, but they made it work, and they made the ice time available for the Lightning to practice. So I don't know what the Lightning were dealing with last night. I don't know how engaged they were.
Sure.
But they had Braden Point in the lineup. They had their number one power play unit, one of the best in hockey. Point, Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman, and Alex Killorn. That's as good as he gets. And Kevin Lankinen found a way to shut them out. So I think that was a solid performance by him. And he did have to make some saves. So they shut out a team that had some pretty good players in there. Plus, Corey Perry did some Corey Perry things last night, as he is apt to do. He and Matthias Ekholm, you could see Matthias Ekholm going, really, we're going to do this in a preseason game?
Look, he's a jackwagon. That's what he is.
Yeah. He said, oh, you can see it. Like, and I could even see, like, Wes McCauley and the Lions.
I'm going to have to use that one.
Are sitting there going,
yeah, like that.
Are you guys really doing this in a preseason game? Oh, two guys, man. Like, you can see the young, energetic guy trying to make the team, make an impression. That's the kind of guy in a preseason game that usually stirs it up. Two veterans, like Corey Perry, come on, what are you doing? But he did it.
He's on brand.
It's Corey. It was on brand. And, of course, the crowd reacted accordingly. They basically, because this game wasn't on the schedule, right, which is why you had permission to go work in the paint, yeah, right? This you. Wasn't on the schedule. You had paint time scheduled out of the back. This game was supposed to be in Tampa.
So you could go hard.
So it was
paint.
An excused absence. Excused absence. I feel you. So I got suit extra credit. Out. I felt like I gave myself extra credit by going to see it. So what else did we learn from last night? They tried Nino Niederreiter, Ryan Johansson with Kiefer Sherwood. They moved Phil Tomasino off of that line and put him on a different line. Tomasino really, I don't think, has shined in the camp as a whole yet. He'll, I think, be in there again tonight. And really, neither has Elli Tolvanen. And Elli Tolvanen hasn't had a chance so far to play on the top line. But Johansson and Niederreiter had an excellent game. Those two played very well. They hooked up for the first goal of the game. So the chemistry looks like it's coming along with those guys. But John Hines, I thought it was interesting. After the game, he did say, we're looking for the right guy. We're still looking at some different guys to play on the line with them. So it kind of tells you they like those two together, but they're not sure about the other forward on the second line.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, I would think right now, They're going to address that need internally. They're going to address that need with somebody that's in the organization that's on the roster. But, you know, I still look at – they got about $2.4 million in cap space to play with. Maybe a little more that they could work with. So, hypothetically, you kind of look at rosters around the league. You know, could there be a deal somewhere of somebody that – could lose out to a numbers game on another team, could get some depth at forward that they could work with. That's a possibility, but I still like the depth that they have within the organization. I think they're probably going to be able to figure this out internally, but it is something to definitely look at.
I'd be really surprised if there's anything they do with that cap space until we get closer to the deadline. I think what you want is you want to keep that cap space intact so that you can address what your roster needs over the first few months of the season. And then start figuring out, you know, exactly what you need and what you're willing to give up. Because if you get up against the cap right at the start of the season, you really have trouble. It hamstrings you in trying to make deals at the trade deadline.
Sure.
So the other guy, and I think he's going to get in there again tonight, is Cody Glass. And I really think they are watching him very hard to see what do I do with him? Like, where do I play him? And how do I get the most out of him? I think he's proven he belongs in the NHL. But on this team, what's the fit? I still think they're working on that.
But you don't think there would be any surprise, like, you know, right before the season, a guy that is, you know, no one thought or there was a slim chance he would make the roster that he's on a roster?
I don't think so. Now, the next thing they've got to do, and John Hines talked about this last night, they have the ability now to get down to 27. Essentially, they're going to cut their roster to 27 tonight because
you
can only take 27 to Switzerland. And so the process pretty much for those 27, if you just think of the logistics of taking everybody, you can't wait till after this game because the flight is leaving. Yeah. You can't make your final – you can't have, like, a big personnel decision meeting after this game. So the decisions are pretty much made. Now, I don't know what the players know yet. I'm sure maybe during the course of the day they're going to tell people you're in, you're out. And I don't know when they will actually release it to us, the public.
Yeah.
But I think they've got a pretty good sense. They've got – they know who their 27 are right now. It's getting from 27 to 23 that will be – the tough calls. But of those 27, I think there's some tough calls as far as 25, 26, 27.
Well, could you assume that one of those extra spots is a goaltender? Because you're probably going to take
three goalies, I would think. Yeah.
So you would say, I would say Saros, Lincoln, and Ingram are probably the three.
Well, it depends. I don't know. I can see an argument for Cooley being the third goalie because what are you going to do with Ingram? I think that's a big decision that's got to be made. Remember, we talked about the extra goalies. Because what's going to happen with the other guys? They're going to go to Milwaukee, and they're going to start training camp there. So what goalies are you sending to Milwaukee? I do think that's – I thought about that this morning, Chase. That's just my take on it, and I don't know if I'm right. I'm just throwing that out there. Askarov, I would think you want to send to Milwaukee, but maybe there's an argument to take Askarov over there. But, you know
– I mean, I think that there's an argument. I mean, but you want to get him some experience and playing time, but you also know he's not going to play here this year. He's going to be with Milwaukee.
That's the thing. So that's why I would think, for me, I would send him to Milwaukee. But because the third goalie in this stage of the season, the burn and the two regular season games, it's really an emergency situation, right? You're hoping you just need to use your main two guys, which right now, if there was any doubt, last night proved it. Lankinen played the whole game and shut him out. So Lankinen is going to be the backup goalie. So now the question is, what are you going to do with Ingram or Cooley? And everybody around the league, I told you my interview with Edmonton, they were asking if Ingram would be available on waivers or maybe on a trade. And I do think he might have a little bit of value there somewhere. So
I think that could be the
more so than Cooley. So that could be something that David Poile is working on right now.
I think that could be the David Poile special. If you could get a draft pick or something out of Ingram, hey, you'll take that. And I think that's certainly something that he could look at. We'll talk a little bit more about the Predators and preview the trip to Bern coming up a little later in the show. But coming up next, we'll get back into some college football. We'll do that. Coming up with Ask D. Mace coming up at the bottom of the hour. It's Chase Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save